Our Father and our King, we say, blessed be your name. Thank you for bringing us together as your church this morning. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives that might not be apparent. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your care for us. Thank you. Amen. Please, let's be seated for a moment. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Sunday. I was just thinking, was it the day before yesterday or so? Yeah, I was just thinking that the year is running by quickly. It's April already. Before we know it, it's going to be Christmas. And you guys will be thinking of what Christmas present to get Pastor Benson. I can make it easy for you guys now. I can just give you guys a list so that you don't have to think too much about what to get me for Christmas. Yeah, but time is really going quickly. I was in Canada for my big sister's birthday. This was about 3 weeks ago. And I was telling them that, well, when we were talking that I remember my 18th birthday so clearly, as if it was just yesterday. And it's as if I woke up and voila, years have passed already. Do you understand? Anyway, that's something else. So what we've been doing, we've been looking at a series since the beginning of the month. And the series we've been looking at is, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And we've looked at a number of things. We looked at the fact that when Jesus was around on the earth, he asked his disciples this question, who do people say that I am? And they had all sorts of answers to that question. They said, well, some people think you're a prophet. Some people think you're this. Some people think you're that. Then he turned the question to them as well and said, all right, no worries. I know people have different opinions of who I am, but who do you say that I am? And the story went on and on. And I mentioned that it is really significant that we understand or we have the true picture of who Jesus is to us, as the Bible says, rather than who Jesus is to other people or who we think he might be. For some people, they think Jesus is that little baby in the, in the manger thing that we celebrate at Christmas, and that's fine. Some people think, well, this Jesus is just like a good teacher. Some people said he's a moral teacher. Some people say he's a, I mean, so all sorts of things. But it's quite, like I mentioned, it's quite important that we realize who Jesus is to us. Why? Because it will affect our whole relationship with Christ forever. So if we think Jesus is just like a teacher, and that's it. We read about him. He teaches us how to, you know, live. If our view of Jesus just ends at that, then you're going to be like me when I was much younger. And I won't recommend this, by the way. I absolutely, in my secondary school days, did not like going to class at all. I tell you, I did not like it at all. So if you view Jesus as a teacher, then you might have the same view I had when I was in my secondary school, where I just really didn't want to attend class. Or I would attend class once in a while, but I didn't have a really good opinion of my teachers then. I was like, man, these guys are just hassling us to do this and that. If that's how we view Jesus, then there are times we're going to think Jesus is just hassling us. It's like, oh, don't do this, live this way. And that won't get us very far if we view him that way. Some people view Jesus as the person that helps them, that does things for them, that answers their prayers. Maybe there's something that you need or something that you are concerned about and you pray, and Jesus helps you out with that. But having that view alone of Jesus, that he's just someone that helps us, although he does help us, if our view of him ends there, then that might not really sustain us for a long time. Because if we get to a point where maybe we've prayed about something or we're expecting something in our lives and it doesn't happen the way we think it should, at that point we might just say, well, this Jesus thing doesn't work. My prayers are not getting answered. And we just draw the line there and go back. So I mentioned that having that second view of Jesus is not enough. But we now came to the third point, that when we really view Jesus as the person who has saved us, Jesus is our Father. Jesus is concerned about us. The same way that you're concerned about your children, the same way that you want them to grow up to, you know, you just don't want anything to happen to them. You want to spend time with your children, even when they, I'm not going to say this story, but I guess I will anyway. I remember that, and you have to like forgive me for this one, Brother Ubo, it's not a personal story per se. I remember long time ago, we're just going to have our daughter then. This was about, she's 19 now, so I'd say slightly, maybe about 20 years ago. No, about 19 years ago. And my wife then was in the hospital. You know, I think this, she was, no, she had had the baby because I was there, but she was like the next day. So I went back home. I said, it would be really good if we can just like surprise her a bit. So I took out some paint and I painted the living room downstairs. That was when we were living in West London, it's about 20 years ago. I was like, man, you know, baby's gonna come home, you know, mom and all that. She'd be like surprised. She'd be like, oh, you painted the living room and all that. And I was like, yeah, I've done a great job here, you know? Then my artistic son, I'm not quite sure he would remember this. I go upstairs and I come down and like there's a living room, like white walls. And I was struck by what I saw there. I was like, no, I must be dreaming. What has happened here? My artistic son had taken a nice crayon and went to the wall that I just painted, and he drew, I think he was about 3 or so years old, and he drew across the white wall, and he had this smile on his face like, wow, this is a Picasso painting that I've done, Dad. And I was like, this is, and I had to apologize to his mom that, look, this was the plan. Anyway, I didn't kick him out of the house and say, you're no longer my son. Do you understand what I mean? I overlooked that. And I said, well, this guy, you know, is just having a moment. Do you understand? Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because if we really view Jesus as our God and we view him as our Father, then we know that, look, Jesus isn't just someone that teaches us. He's not just someone that helps us when we have a need or something, but that he's our Father that looks after us and that cares about us. Do you understand? Even when we draw on the wall and all that, he's still our Father. He's interested in our lives. He's interested in what is going on in our lives. He's interested in coming with us to the end of our journey. So, who is this Jesus? So the question I have for us this morning is, who is Jesus to you? And how do you move forward from that? Is Jesus just a teacher to you? Is Jesus someone that just helps you with things? Or is Jesus really your Father who cares about you and who doesn't just abandon you when you misbehave? It's really important that we have that, the real concept. And God goes on to say, look, if he did not withhold Jesus from us, that he allowed Jesus to be crucified, that we might be reconciled to him. How will he not also freely give us all things? So, I'm just reminding us of what we've looked at for the past few weeks, that Jesus is real. Jesus is as if, I mean, we know Jesus is not here physically, but it's as if he is here physically. And that's how he wants us to view him. God cares about us, I tell you. He's concerned about you, and he wants you to know him. He wants me to know him as well. Okay, so that's what we've looked at for the past few weeks. So I'm bringing the series to an end today. So what are we looking at today? Today, I'm looking at the state, still the same thing. Who is this Jesus? But what next? We've spoken about Jesus for the past few weeks. Jesus, you know, has done this for us. He went through so much pain for us. And we've heard all these things. So the question now is this: what do I do with that piece of information? What next? Where do I go from here? How do I really begin to experience this Jesus that we're talking about, so that it's not just like I'm a Christian who just attends church on a Sunday, which is fine, but I want Jesus to really impact my life. I want to experience what Jesus said about me in the Bible. I want my life to be filled with the presence and the power of God. Do you understand? What do I do? Where do I take this journey? So that's what I'm going to look at today, then we'll pray. So I'm going to mention three things this morning to us. And you know, one thing I always say is this: I'm a practical person. You know, before I became a Christian, I became a Christian when I was 24, by the way. I had a lot of friends who, not a lot. My sisters were Christians. I had one or two friends who were. And I didn't want to have anything to do at all with the church per se, even though my parents were Christians and they tried to bring us up that way. But when I met Christ, when I was 24, something really happened to me. It was as if God just came and, you know, personally did something to my heart. So when I'm talking about Christ, I'm talking about Jesus. For me, it's very personal. It's not just this is what I do because I'm a pastor. Even before I was a pastor, for me, my relationship with God is really, really personal. Do you understand what I mean? So it's not just a tick in the box. So today we're looking at what next. How do you begin to live your life with Jesus? Or how do we continue in such a way that it makes a big difference in our lives? I'll look at three things this morning, then we'll pray. So the first one I'm going to read is from Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 37. Don't worry, I'll read it out. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 37, it says, someone comes and asks Jesus, and it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." So this person comes up to Jesus and he says, "What is the greatest commandment?" I've got the Bible here. It's like on my thing. It's not like proper. Probably waves the Bible and says, "In this Bible that I'm holding, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Tell me what I need to do. Tell me." I mean, this guy was really excited, I believe, although I wasn't there. But Jesus makes a point. And that's the first point I want to make this morning. Jesus said to this person, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." So the first thing we see here is this: God wants you and I to love him as the starting point. To love him as the starting point. Now, Why is that important? Do you know that you can be in a relationship with someone and it's just like a tick in the box scenario? How would you feel, right, if, say for example, you have like a child, maybe, or you have a child, or you're an auntie, and you have this niece or nephew who is like 10 years old, or maybe even your own child, and when your child wakes up in the morning, they just walk past you and they go like, good morning, auntie, good morning, uncle, or good morning, dad, and that's it. And you're like, oh, hi, how are you doing? They don't want to have anything to do with you. They don't want to even like spend time with you. And all they do is just wake up and they leave the house. You ring them on the phone. They don't take your calls. They just are not present. How would you feel about that kind of relationship? But one thing that maybe they do is, you have a set of things. You like, you know, when you wake up, do your, you know, clean your room, hoover the floor and all that. Or, you know, make sure you don't, you know, put your toys all over. And when that child wakes up, they do all those things. They tidy their room. They, you know, make sure they don't put their toys all around. So they do all those things you put on the list. But they don't care anything about you as their parent or as their auntie or their uncle. They don't care how you're doing. They don't even ask how you're doing. And they're just like, okay, you're my parent or you're my auntie or my uncle, and that's where it ends. But they don't care about anything that concerns you, whether you're feeling well or not. It's like, whatever, I've done the things that you put on the list. Or how about if you had a friend and that's how your friend was? Would it really make a difference that this person tidies up their room and they do all the things that you've asked them to do? Would it really matter if they didn't care anything about you? I'm not quite sure it would. I'm not quite sure. So when Jesus told this man, or woman, I'm not quite sure, it doesn't say who, if it was a male or if it was a man. When this man waved the Bible at Jesus, I'm using a hyperbole here, and he says, what must I do? I want to, dad, auntie, I can clean my room, I can do everything. What must I do to be in, like, what do you really want from me? I'm ready to do all these things. And Jesus makes a point. He says, relax. Even though I've got a list of things that I would like you to do, you're missing the point. You are missing the point. The point is not that you are a doer, or that you do everything I ask you to do. He said, no, the point is I want you to love me first. I want you to love me first. All those things in the Bible, put them aside. I want you to start from a place where you love me. That's what Jesus said. Now, why am I happing on this point? I'm happing on this point because if we enter or we view our relationship with Christ as, I haven't been angry at that my neighbor that throws stuff over the fence. I haven't done this. I haven't been rude. If that's what our relationship with Christ, I go to church on a Sunday, which is good, you should come. I read my Bible every day, which you should. If that is the source of our relationship is just based on those things, I can guarantee you it's going to be like a really dry relationship. And you're like, man, I've had enough of this. What is dry, uninteresting relationship this is. Why? Because there's no love in it. So Jesus makes the point, and he's making the point to us now that, look, all the things you know about Jesus, all the things you've read in the Bible or you haven't read, all the views you have about the church, oh, I have to do this. He says, look, put all those things aside to start with. Put them aside. And just love me. Put them aside. Put them aside for now. And just love me. And I realized that when we actually truly love Christ, then we will do things automatically that the Bible says. But if we don't start from the place of love and we start from the place of law, it can only take us so far. It can only take us so far. Love does a lot of interesting things to people, I tell you. Love can make a king abdicate his throne and move to another country. And you're like, hang on, how can this king abdicate his throne because he loves this woman? Love can make people endure all sorts of things that under normal circumstances they wouldn't. So Jesus says, start from the place of love, not from the place of what can I do, which is fine. And the reason I'm kind of like just harping on this point is because I was really fortunate that when I became born again, when I was 24, I started from the place of love. And I count myself really fortunate because what that did to me and what it still does to me now is, I mean, I love Christ so much. So there are certain things that I do that for me, it just doesn't matter. I mean, in the context of the church. And it's because I came from a place of love. So if I need to be in church like 10 times a day, I absolutely love it. If I need to do whatever, I absolutely love it. So the first thing is that God wants us to start from the place of love. Take away all the, I'll call them gymnastics of Christianity. Take away all the things that you've heard and just simply start from that place or continue in that place. And you find out that your relationship with God will be more fulfilling, I tell you. So, two more points and we'll pray. So the second one is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. So this is Paul the apostle that was inspired to write like 2/3 of the Bible. The second thing is this, making knowing Christ our priority or a priority in our life. So what does that mean? We will prioritize what we love. Depends if you're like an Arsenal or Man U fan and all that, I'll be able to tell. Or if you're like a Chelsea person. I have this friend. Well, I Man U, Arsenal or something. I have this friend in London. We went to secondary school together. And I remember years ago, he just got married. And this guy was having, they were just trying to settle down. And I think sometimes it was a bit short on their rent and stuff like that, like new couple, just trying to make things work and stuff. And I was having a chat with this guy one day and he was so excited. I was like, bro, what's up? And he said, man, that he just got like a season's ticket thing for the season, that premium tickets, blah, 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 blah. I was like, wow, that is so interesting. And I said, oh, how much did you get this special season, whatever for? And he told me the price. I think it must have cost him over £1,000. And in my mind, I was like, hang on, bro. You haven't paid your rent, you know. I think you were having challenges with your rent. But for him, you know, he just got married. He didn't know that. You need to, you know, there are certain things you have to reprioritize when you get married. You can't just spend all your money as you would as a bachelor. And the guy was so excited. He bought the thing. He had all the Chelsea and all that. Spent all his money. All his money on that. And the guy hadn't paid his rent. Why? He prioritized that so much. Do you get what I mean? Because that was what he loved. I mean, you can say, if you're like an Arsenal fan and all that, just when they're playing the match, just don't come near him at all. Because he absolutely prioritized that. Because he loves, that's what he loves. So what am I saying this morning? The second thing is that God wants us to prioritize him. He wants us to do so. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, I'll read. It says, this is Paul the apostle talking. It says, but whatever was gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. It says, what is more? I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. It says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. It says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. So Paul the apostle here, who had done so many great things for God, he had been inspired by the Holy Spirit to write like almost 2/3 of the New Testament. This man went from country to country, preaching the gospel, going through all sorts of things. And at the end of the day, when he was writing, you would have expected that he would have said, wow, my greatest feat was when I went to Athens and I preached the gospel there. My greatest feat was, you know, when I did this and I did that and that person got healed. Amen, as a preacher there. You see, you guys are too British. You should be like American, like the little lady there. You'd be like, preach it, pastor. Preach it, pastor. So, this man didn't say my greatest feat was doing this great, mighty miracles here and there. Although, he appreciated that. Do you know what he said? He said, everything that I've done till date, I consider them as nothing. In comparison with knowing Christ. So this was a man that really understood that, look, the most important thing in his life was to know Christ. Even though he had done a lot of these things. So what am I saying this morning? The second thing is that we need to prioritize knowing Christ. We're so busy. It's such a busy, busy world now. I mean, at home, I work from home, and I have a study where I work, and I call that study, that room, the room of no return. Why? You know, you have to forgive me for this, because when I go into that room, I lose consciousness of night and day. I just work. Then I think there are times that my daughter will now come into the room and say, Dad, what time is it now? And I know what that means is, man, I have to like stop work now. Then I'll just let her go back to her room. I'll sneak back in. I'll just carry on working. We're so busy. But Christ wants us to prioritize him. He just wants us to prioritize him, like a person. And the last thing I'm going to mention this morning is this. So I've said, God wants us to start from the place of love for him. And he wants us to prioritize him. So the last thing is this. What else will help our relationship with Christ? The third thing is this. I believe God wants us to live our lives in the context of the local church. I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe as many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their possessions and gave to everyone who had need. It says, every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. I'll read another portion of scripture, Hebrews 10:25. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another the more as we see the day approaching. So the last thing here is living life in the context of the local church. Now, what does that mean? Now, we're all from different backgrounds, different experiences, and all that. But what God wants for us is to really live as a family. Do you get what I mean? Now, what does that mean for us? It means, obviously, it takes time for us to get to know one another. But the aim is that we should get to the point where you're like my brother. And I care for you like my brother, you're my sister. And it's not just like we're attending like a Rotary Club. I don't know if they still have Rotary Club now. But Rotary Club is where it's like a club you pay your dues and you gather together. So God doesn't want us to view church as a club where, well, I'll turn up on a Sunday and whatever. No. He wants us to really realize that we're part of his family. So even though we're from different backgrounds, different places, we have different views, we should care for one another deeply as family members. Do you understand what I mean? And I know it's sometimes difficult because you come to a new place or a church and you're like, you don't really know people and like, look, I just want to take it easy. Let me see what these folks are like and stuff like that, which is fine. But the aim is this, that when we come together or you become part of a local church, then it's like you become a family member of that local church. So what that means is this, whatever is going on in your life, we are concerned. We should help one another. It shouldn't just be, well, yeah, I saw you on a Sunday and you're, and that's fine, or I just want to keep these to myself. Obviously, there are things that you want to keep private. You don't want to just like put your stuff out there. But the aim is that we care for one another sincerely. And I think at one point I had to tell a couple of people at church here, I said, look, when I text you or I call you when I don't see you in church or I haven't heard from you in a while, I'm not doing so because I want to hassle you. I'm not doing so because I'm like, oi, I haven't seen you in church, mate. Where you been? No, no, no. I'm texting and I'm calling because I'm concerned. It's like, I hope you're fine. So I had to put that out there that, you know, it's not like, oh, this Pastor Benson is texting me again, or whatever. No. It's because I'm concerned. And God wants us to be concerned for one another. Amen. So I'm going to stop here this morning. And I would just like us to pray. You can sit where you are. But I want us to just pray. And just ask that God will help us to really love him. There's so much that God wants to do with us. in our lives. He cares deeply about us. He wants us to view ourselves as a family, not just a group of random people who meet together on a Sunday. So we just want to pray this morning and say, God, help me to really view you the way you view me. So we'll just pray this morning. Our Father and our King, we thank you for everything that you've spoken through your word this morning. We know that with you, nothing is complicated. You're so simple that everyone can understand you. Father, I'm just praying this morning that even as I've spoken, touch our hearts. Let us understand the love that you have for us. Let us understand the care that you have for us. Let us understand how you want us to live as a church. Father, I pray for everyone here, and even for those that are not here, that you will strengthen everyone. That for those who are going through one challenge or the other, or those who have questions in their mind about you, those who have fears in their heart about the future, those who have doubts about how you really view them. I'm asking, Father, that you bring comfort to every heart, that you will heal those who are unwell, and for those who are troubled in their minds, that you bring peace of mind to them. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name.